You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to another edition of the Mystery Crate. I'm Chris Whittingham, now part of the shipping container. Am I part of this? I sometimes feel like, you know, I've been embraced by you guys. You guys have been great, but I don't know if, like, it, you know, inheriting that moniker is something that I can give myself. It has to be ordained.
I think you're part of the shipping container, Chris Whittingham. Give me a hug. Give me a Zoom hug. All right, a zug. Yeah. Look at us.
All right. So, Roy, Billy, and Chris is here, and we are here to bring you today's edition of the Mystery Crate, which is a rebrand. The BBBBBB, I think I got enough B's in there, is rebranding Billy today.
Rebranding. What?
Hey.
Branding.
You know, we trying something new today with some friends from the past, not all of them. We're going to try something new, a little new podcast project. That wasn't very helpful, I don't think. Do you guys have ring lights? This is unrelated to that. Do you guys have ring lights at all?
No, but I've wanted one throughout the pandemic. We do a lot of Zoom videos for Chelsea Mic'd Up, and I think that my face needs lighting. But then I'm kind of wondering, if I do get one, then is it going to really, you know, expose all the bad parts of my face?
I want less lighting.
Is the shadow good for me? And I decided on that.
Hmm. So you've got no ring light. I don't have a ring light, but it's sort of a ring light, but it turns itself off after a couple minutes. And then I've thought, should I get a ring light? Because sometimes it's kind of dark, and I know that, like, they'll repurpose the Zoom calls from the show sometimes for, like, social media clips, and I don't want to look, like, awful, so I want to get it. But I also have the situation with my glasses. See there, where it's the ring light off the glasses,
yeah.
And it looks odd. And then it's a thing where, do I get one with a tripod, and then I put the camera or whatever in the middle, and am I going to do that? And do I want to invest in that? And how much longer are we going to be doing this setup?
Roy seems like a ring light guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I tuned out. I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, wow.
The other day when we did the Twitch stream from the studio, I didn't realize that they were going to fire up the television lights, and I was very self-conscious about. I mean, my forehead was glistening in the television lighting. I needed to bring, like, some powder, some makeup with me, and it's like, really, I have to go into work armed with makeup so that I can not have my forehead shine and distract the viewing audience.
So we, in the history of the show, had two main makeup artists. We'd have some people come in from time to time and fill in. We had Myra, and then Myra was replaced by Lucio at one point. And Lucio was great. And so was Myra, by the way.
I was going to say.
No. Myra was great. And she's the one that made me look like Stitches the time that we did that. But she would, like, get really into it. And, like, sometimes some of the makeup projects would take, like, 2 hours. And it's like, all right, well, I know we're trying to make this perfect, but we got to get this going because the show's already halfway done. But, you know, to Myra and Lucio's professionalism, they wanted it to look perfect. All of that is to say, they'd come in and they'd do makeup on Dan, Stugatz, and Mike, and the rest of us, they're like, yeah, you guys could just look like crap. It doesn't really matter. You're far enough away that you don't really need makeup.
Well, in our defense, it was really Dan and Stu she was doing it to, and then Mike kind of inserted himself into the makeup chair. So it wasn't like, I feel like our room was never really supposed to get makeup, but, you know, Mike was just like, I'm close. This camera is so close to my face that I need makeup.
Roy, did you ever get powder applied?
No.
Really? How come?
didn't need it.
But you were just as close to the camera as Mike was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's, I don't know. I guess that's vanity on his part. I just feel like I needed it.
I learned when I was at CBS Interactive, I was doing web videos there. I had to do my own makeup every day. And I learned about the various kinds. And there is translucent, like, kind of powder that allows you to, like, to completely get rid of shine. And so I was wondering if maybe they threw some on Roy.
it's funny to see, like, I guess the different budgets of, like, local TV studios and, like, just studios make up things in general. Because when we would do Sports Bang, Stugatz and Goldie and Amber would take their own, like, makeup and they'd apply it or whatever. And then I'd see, like, other local TV stations and they'd, like, put up, like, Instagram stories and stuff like that, like, in the makeup chair. And I'm like, what kind of budget do some of these stations have where they have, like, makeup artists coming? And then I'll also look and it's, like, wardrobe provided by blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, local news, I guess some people, it's a great business where they have all kinds of, like, makeup and clothes and all that provided for them. Where others, it's just like, yeah, bring your own stuff and kind of, you know, make yourself look presentable.
I once did the Local 10 Sunday sports show.
Ooh.
and the news anchor had, like, the news anchor that night.
Who's your anchor? Who's, I need to
Well, know. I mean, I was on with Womanso. No, I was on with Clay Ferraro that night. But, like, whoever was doing the news, like, the actual news, applied the makeup to me. Because I guess there was nobody there on a Sunday night. So it was like charity makeup.
Every single episode of Sports Bang, Amber Wilson had to put Stugatz's makeup on for him. Without fail. Every single makeup. And I believe it was her makeup that she was putting on him. Like, he didn't even go through, like, the effort of getting his own little, like, powder or whatever.
I've never understood, like, you know you need makeup, and for years, to, like, not even put in a modicum of effort into learning how, to acquiring some. Like, we've been trying on the, like, in the studio to get Stugatz to not sign in as John Skipper on Zoom. For 2 months, right? They once did a sales meeting on that computer where John Skipper signed in. And since then, Stugatz has appeared on Zoom as John Skipper. And I try, Stu, can you sign in on Zoom?
Yeah.
So that the next time it doesn't, he's like, ah, buddy, I created an account. But then you have to sign in.
Yeah.
And we still have not gotten to the point. And because the show moves so quickly and then Stu goes home to play golf, like, there is not a time to take a moment to breathe so we can go, hey, can you sign in? And so you're not John Skipper every time you go into the Zoom.
Yeah, but he wouldn't know what shade to buy, despite having a wife that could, you
but
know,
like,
help him out.
I didn't either. I walked into a Sephora at Aventura Mall and said, I know nothing. Give me what I need.
So hold on. Did you go just because of that appearance? Like, you're like, I got to go get makeup.
No. Like, when I was at CBS Interactive, like, I was on television. I was on camera, like, four times a week. So I had to. So I literally just went to a Sephora. I was like, I know nothing. Can you help me? And they probably, like, significantly upsold me, but I wasn't going to argue with them.
Billy, in classic Billy fashion, you've undersold what you did with the BBB crew in rate, subscribe, and review.
That wasn't enough bees.
No, it was only three. That's like,
you know, people get it.
Baseball basket.
It's good to hear the band back together, Billy. The people, they want it. They want the BBB crew. I mean, have you even told the people who's in it yet?
Nah, we'll get to that. I don't know how much people actually want this is the thing, right? Because, like, I've seen, like, tweets like, hey, we missed a thing. But, like, when we did it, it's like, I hate this. Like, stop doing it. So, you know what?
What's the highlight? What's the highlight? Tease me. Give me a topic that gets tackled during this that is going to excite me.
I was skimming through it because Billy sent me a copy of it. I was skimming through it, and the first thing I heard was Charlie saying, have you ever pooped your pants before?
Oh, well, yeah.
That's appointment listening right
there. I actually listened to the whole thing. I was just being a radio pro right there and teasing it for Billy. Hey, Billy, what do you want to talk about? I don't know. You know, I'm just dancing now. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
So listen to it. If you like it, you know, say you like it. And if you don't, you know, please don't say you don't, because I'd prefer, like, the positive feedback if possible. Also, like, if you never want to hear it in Mystery Crit again, just be like, this is so great, this should be its own thing, and then they'll just make it its own, and you never have to listen to it again. So, like it or hate it, maybe you could get rid of it.
Are you, like, this is the least satisfactory route to a spinoff I've ever heard, which is, give something enough positive feedback so it gets a spinoff so you don't have to hear it.
Well, I mean, that's not... yes, get that. Possibly. You want to hear it? Here.
Might as well. Yeah, sure. Play it.
Hearing it.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to Rate, Subscribe, Review. I'm Billy Gill, and I'm joined by my friends, Charlie Kravitz, Charlie Human, Lorenzo Rodriguez. Guys, how have you been?
That's my excited noise. I'm excited. I'm glad to see really, all your smiling faces.
A weird really noise. Weird excited noise. We'll that make there, Lorenzo.
I'm also good. I've missed doing this. The last time we did a podcast, it was under very sad circumstances. We didn't know if we were ever going to do it again. And like, I left feeling like genuinely unsettled that I was going to be losing a part of my life. And so I'm just delighted to see all of your happy, smiling faces again.
So when you made that excited noise, it made me wonder, are you someone that, and I don't want to be too crass, but are you someone that when you got excited would have like accidents sometimes?
No, I mean, I sometimes can't contain my excitement, but it never manifested in a little tinkle. No, that. I'm not a dog, believe me.
You've never happy peed yourself, not even once.
Maybe laughing.
What were the circumstances of that?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Have you ever pooped your pants?
Ooh,
like just a little bit?
Never. Absolutely.
That's not even once.
And nasty, and how dare you speak of that type of stuff. Don't bring our brand new podcast into the literally.
Zo, like, come on.
Now you're going to bleep that.
All right, Billy, are you going to set up? Let's set up this podcast.
I'm trying to figure out what this podcast is.
We just haven't seen each other in so long.
So anyways, this is a new podcast, Rate, Subscribe, Review. And I think the idea from how we planned this out is we're all going to rate, we're all going to subscribe, and we're all going to review something by the end of this podcast. Well, not by the end of this podcast, because like, whatever you tell me to subscribe to, I'm probably not going to leave the podcast and do that at that time. But I think the idea is we're each going to have one for each of those, and we'll go around and kind of, you know, learn some things.
Learning.
So where should we begin, Billy?
I feel like we should start by rating some things. Does anyone want to go first? I have something to rate, but I don't know, because now the pressure's on, because this is going to be our first Rate, Subscribe, Review submission.
Why don't you just you randomly pick someone to start off with the rating?
Randomly. That's funny.
All right.
No, pick me. Don't pick me because my rate.
Lorenzo.
Lorenzo, open us up with the rating.
No.
It's time to rate. That's like a sound effect that maybe we'll
start. It's time to rate.
Yeah.
No, my rate. So I'm going to set the table on this. Like,
yeah, set the table.
All right. Well, I had a segment idea there's only certain places.
So you're not going to rate something.
Well, listen to me. I'm going to pitch a new segment here of this idea.
Off to a great start.
The name of this podcast.
So, if you are just joining us, this is what's happened so far.
They're all kind of the same three things.
We had some kind of very loose conversations of what it is that we wanted to do, and we all decided, you know what, it'll be fun to kind of surprise each other. Let's not have a doc, because then we're going to know what everyone's going to rate, subscribe, and review. And the result of that was Lorenzo sending us a bunch of segment ideas, which had nothing to do with rating, subscribing, or reviewing. It was just Zoe wanted to create segments for things.
Just texting us random segments. Mm-hmm. Like after we clearly outlined this was Rate, Subscribe, Review, and then Lorenzo was just, it was almost, I didn't know whether to take it seriously if he texted the wrong group. But apparently he was very serious, and he intends to unleash these segments on us right now instead of doing the show concept.
Master Rating.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Before you go any further with this, though, the reason I found this great.
Oh, wait. That's the other file with like 10 different takes.
Yeah, play that file again. Play that file. Come on, play that file. I want to hear all the different takes. Come on, dude. Take us behind the curtains of Master Rating.
Wait, it's 42 seconds long.
Like, the best part about this is Charlie introduced this segment to you as a troll bit and you ran with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lorenzo wanted to introduce a segment called Mystery Rate.
Where one of us
pitches something to rate. I don't even understand what the intended payoff of the segment is. And I suggested Master Rater as a spoof on that. And now Lorenzo spent 42 seconds recording different opens for it. So here we are.
All right, play the opens now.
That's not how these things came about. I had these two ideas separately.
You had the ideas.
But I think it was actually Charlie Hume, Chunky Dog, came up with Master Rating. We went from Master Raider to Master Rating. Get it? So I go, all right, let's do a Master Rating segment.
Master Rating.
So Master Rating is basically this. Everyone has listicles and top rank lists out there, BuzzFeed, The Ringer, all, we don't need to go into specific names, but everyone gets their writers and they put them in a room and they kind of debate and argue, well, this one's number one. This is the best crime drama of all time. This is the... In Master Rating, we're going to rate individual pieces of a group, a series, or in this case, the Fast and the Furious film franchise.
Master Rating.
All right.
We're gonna rate each of the...
The explanation did not sell me, but the guitar riff
did.
Lorenzo, are you just going to go around, pick one of us, and then that person will give you their Fast and Furious ratings?
No, we are each going to give and ascribe a rating, one through 10,
ooh,
the best, to each of the movies. We can it's basically out of 10.
There's only been 8 so far.
Huh?
Plus Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, plus Hobbs and Shaw, there's 9.
Well, I'm going to get to that. There's a
F9 comes out in May, so that's 10.
That's correct. And there's you guys are missing a bunch of other stuff in there.
Oh, wait, were we ranking them? I was giving them individual.
No, we are giving them. There's many rating systems out there.
Are you going one movie at a time, and we're each giving you a score?
That's correct.
Okay,
we're
wow.
Tabulate all these scores, and after all that, once we get the group average, we are going to get the top Fast and the Furious.
This segment. Not promising off the jump. I got to be honest, Lorenzo.
You want to come back to this one, Zoe? Nah,
let's go. The imaging's great. So maybe we just stop it at the imaging. And then, Billy, you just want to pick someone else to give their rating.
You know what? I'll do it. You know what I want to rate? Puppy breath.
Ooh.
I rate puppy breath 8 out of 10 in terms of delightful things that I encounter on a daily basis. Puppy
doesn't
breath.
It taste like or smell like Purina or whatever dog?
No.
Ironically, Billy, I'll jump off of that because my first rate, I thought it'd be, you know, a good way to jump in, get everyone involved. Since all of us are fathers here, I have Dobby.
Of humans?
Billy has Dopey. Charlie has Max. Lorenzo has Violet and Arnold the Furminator. Why is he called her Violet?
Is Violet his daughter's not
I just
name?
Adopted Pablo's daughter.
I just conflated daughters. Rose, Violet, they're both flowers.
They're both flowers.
Apologies, Pablo.
True.
I wanted to rate the first month of fatherhood. When you have a new puppy and it's learning things and you love it, but it's also a menace. I give that 4 paws up.
Oh, wow.
4 paws up. That's a good scale.
What are we out of?
Well,
what?
We listen, tell whatever the frame you want it to be.
Four
whatever
paws
you want
up.
To be.
Wait, but
4 paws up.
So we're going 4 paws out of 4.
Don't
paws up. Have 4 paws.
Don't ask questions. 4 paws up, all right? Okay, so I'd like to rate the cheesy gordita crunch.
Ooh.
Mm. I've been kind of tired of like my like standard typical Taco Bell order, and I kind of wanted to switch it up. So I asked the young woman working the drive-thru if she could explain to me what a cheesy gordita crunch is, because I saw it on the menu and never ordered it. What it is it's a hard shell taco. It's wrapped in a soft piece of flatbread. It's topped with a 3 cheese melted blend, and it's stuffed with meat, spicy ranch sauce, lettuce, and cheddar. Okay. So that sounds pretty delicious at face value. But then she gets done explaining to me and she says, "Do you want to know a secret?" I was like, "Yeah, obviously I want to know a secret." She said, "It's way better if you substitute a Doritos Locos taco shell for a regular shell."
Wow.
And I did it, and it's maybe the best thing I've ever had at a Taco Bell. And I give that 57 pumpkins.
Wow. 57 pumpkins.
57 pumpkins.
Wait.
57, though.
First off, 57
pumpkins.
57.
No, I should explain this. I should explain this a little bit because.
Yes, please do.
Because Lorenzo was suggesting different rating systems in our group text, and he suggested pumpkins.
Thematic.
And I thought that's a brilliant idea.
For Halloween.
So yeah. You can decide how large the size of the pumpkin patch is. Yeah. 57 pumpkins can be really good, depending on the size of that patch. That's a 57 pumpkin patch.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's all the pumpkins in that patch.
I'm still, despite these flawed rating systems, we can't go back to puppy dog breath. Like, can't we? Don't we all each rate puppy dog breath?
No.
A different, yeah, Dopey wants to rate dog breath. Or which dog was that? I can't tell. Whose dog?
That's Dopey.
So that's everyone's ratings, huh? That's all the ratings.
Yeah.
No, that's not master rating.
We didn't that's master rating.
No.
You just did it.
I wanted your Tokyo Drift rating.
I'm not going to lie, Charlie, the Taco Bell thing, that sounds incredible. I think we're a podcast that loves Taco Bell. And the fact that I never have thought to mix and match there. I feel like so many of the ingredients are crossovers into different things that the concept of sort of a hybrid item, it's genius.
I think at one point Taco Bell had just 7 main ingredients and all their items were some swap of all those 7 main ingredients. I don't think that's the case any longer. And I say that because that's the first time I ever had Taco Bell's spicy ranch sauce.
Yeah.
And that was just a complete game changer because you think you're stuck with just the basic mild to fire, whatever sort of scale they leave you with. Spicy
or delicious anyway.
Flavor. Yeah. Highly recommend it.
Have you guys ever gone down a Taco Bell internet rabbit hole and read about the apocryphal stories about the meat hose?
Oh, wait. Oh. The meat hose is the thing that they just kind of pulled down.
Yeah. Allegedly, their ground beef is in sort of a rotating tub similar to like a like laundry a paste. Bin. Like and there's like paste. A hose that they can hose the meat out of. And the truck comes and delivers their meat daily. And I've done a ton of research on Reddit on the meat
I've
hose.
Seen it. I've
You've seen it. The meat hose.
Well, wait, is it real?
It's not like – Charlie, it's not a hose. Isn't it more like a caulking gun? Like,
I know they have the guac gun.
Wait, I think that's the sour cream. That's the meat hose? That it's like a caulking gun?
I thought so.
Wow.
I've never seen it.
Well, Zoe just said he's seen it.
I've seen it in the back.
I don't think there's anything that could stop me from eating Taco Bell.
No.
Like, there's nothing that could stop me.
It's full transparency of what it is.
What were you doing in the back of a Taco Bell, Zoe?
I wasn't in the back of a Taco Bell. I just looked back. I saw people preparing the food. You want to sometimes take a peek at how the
I don't believe for a second Billy, that they're preparing tacos with a hose that you can see.
Do we think Lorenzo's lying here?
57 pumpkins that Lorenzo's lying 57 on this one.
Pumpkins.
No.
57
Masterating.
Masterating.
No, I'm not even bringing the imaging because all right, that's time not to the review? Segment.
No, subscribe.
Let's subscribe.
Wait, no, wait.
Who's subscribing first?
Fast 7. What do we rate Fast 7?
I give Fast 7 wait, 8 Toretto
wait,
chains.
There's another
I give Fast 7 4 pumpkins I have it
no,
on my list.
No, 1 through 10.
That film was released in April 2015, in case you're wondering.
I had an Excel document made.
8 out of 9 Toretto chains.
Do you want to know how many pumpkins I gave Tokyo Drift, Lorenzo?
I would have probably rated 8 pumpkins.
Wow, okay. 8 pumpkins. Down from 57.
Different patch, though, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I gave all the films a 10 because I wanted to drag up the net rating.
Thank you. I'll put yours in then at all 10s, and even Too Fast, Too Furious.
Right? Honestly, I thought about giving that
Too
one
Fast and Furious
to
is one
troll
of my
you because it was in Miami, and I was like, I'll give that one a 0 because it'll upset Lorenzo.
0.
Then I had to give
introduction
it a
of Tyrese.
I had to give it, yeah. You have Paul Walker saying character. It's about to get thick real quick. It's a great movie.
Is Furious 7 supposed to be like a takeoff on The Magnificent 7 or something like that? That's their own little play on it?
I think so. Or it's also alliteration. They're all about alliteration on these.
But there's no alliteration.
Furious 7 is alliteration in what world?
Just like, it's just nice.
Your understanding of alliteration is 2 pumpkins.
Listen, man. I haven't seen all these stupid movies, and I thought, hey, we can kick things off.
It's nothing to do with alliteration, though.
You two people would have loved. No, Fast, Furious. That's alliteration.
Furious 7.
Continents. Huh? Hmm. Yeah, well.
Master rating.
Fast 5. Fate great. Furious.
Great segment, Lorenzo.
Guys, I have a question. How would you rate this segment?
2 pumpkins.
2 pumpkins as well. Pumpkins, yeah.
It's low. Yeah. It's low.
2 pumpkin segment. How about some subscriptions?
Should we subscribe to some things?
Let's subscribe to some things.
Chucky, why don't you start us off? What should we subscribe to?
Let me tell you, you should be subscribing to the theory that the Los Angeles Times has paid Twitter a significant sum of money to only feature their articles on the Explore tab.
No wonder.
It feels every time I look at the Explore tab of Twitter, it's always Los Angeles Times articles. And in my mind, I equate this to like when The Athletic launched. And it was like you kept clicking on Athletic articles and you would like mindlessly read the first paragraph and there's like the paywall and you're like, oh my God, not again. This is driving me nuts. And eventually, because it was things I wanted to read about, it was important for work, good writing, all the above. It's like, I'll pay the money. The Athletic. I have a subscription now. It's well worth it. Except that with the Los Angeles Times, I don't care about these dumb stories on the Explore page, but I still get frustrated when I get paywalled after a paragraph. So it's a never-ending frustrating experience, and I don't really know what to do about it other than say, Los Angeles Times, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay for a subscription, but your headline editors are doing a great job. And that's what you should subscribe to. There you go.
But wait, you haven't subscribed to the LA Times.
Well, that's right. Maybe you shouldn't subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even realize there was a second layer here. Krabs, what do you got for a subscription?
I have a subscribe and I have an unsubscribe.
Wow.
I subscribe to Beckett online,
ooh,
which is something I used to subscribe to as a magazine in person. Beckett is a card valuation service for like sports trading cards, Pokemon cards. With this whole boom of NBA Top Shot trading cards, I had to go back and look in my parents' basement at all the old trading cards they had. The problem is the info on what those cards are worth now is not like publicly available. You can try and get valuations on eBay, but it's way easier if you can just type the service into Beckett. And guys, I know it's mainstream, but it's been incredibly nostalgic and fun to look through old binders of cards and be like, oh my God, there's a Kenny Lofton card from 1997.
How much money do you estimate is in your collection?
So
it's the gem.
The gem that I found that I had in a top loader case, a 1996, and I think it's in great condition, Topps Kobe Bryant rookie card.
Wow.
Sending out to be graded. I don't even know what I want to do with it. I don't feel like selling it. Like these cards were like important to me, but it's like, it's nice to go back and think it's like, it has recreated the feeling of opening the packs I did on my birthdays for ages 7 to 13. And that has been great. And so I know that like there are a bunch of like sort of guys who are reveling online and talking about how much money they're going to make off of that. But for me, it's just the feeling of getting to look at all these things again that I used to love and I'm getting to love again. I've thought a lot about that feeling. I'm calling that nostalgia.
Oh,
it's like all of these feelings.
Ooh, I like that.
Again, as the pandemic is sort of coming to a close, I'm going to have nostalgia the first time I hang out with all of you guys in person.
Oh, are we getting together then and all like just buying a bunch of Topps cards and or Upper Deck cards and just seeing what we.
No one suggested that.
Why don't we?
That's good listening, Lorenzo.
Huh?
I mean, we could do that. Sure.
We could do that. So what are you subscribing to, bud?
I'm subscribing to space exploration. While we were gone, a monumental moment in the human experience occurred when we went to Mars again. That's right. We went back in 1996, but we forget about that with the Pathfinder Sojourner expedition. But we now have Mars Perseverance. That's right. We are persevering. We have gone back to Mars. I don't know about you, but there's no elation like NASA nerd elation. And if you're watching the riveting landing of the Perseverance rover on Mars, on the landscape of Mars, it was thrilling. It was cool, but it took it up to another notch because of all the people just hugging and embracing in the middle of a pandemic at NASA headquarters once it landed.
You know what I loved when it happened? This is like, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago now. The guy who jumped out of space, Felix Baumgartner. That was sweet. I dressed up as that guy for Halloween, and I also jumped off a roof and broke my foot. Actually, I didn't break my foot. It was a bad sprain. But
what? You know,
I dressed up as Felix Baumgartner for Halloween and went to a Halloween party and jumped off a roof. And then I was on crutches for like a day because I thought I broke my foot.
Wow, that's pretty serious. The roof
onto what? Day.
Like, well, I thought it was going to be worse. It was, my foot was really bruised. And then I just like didn't do anything for a week and I started playing basketball again and it hurt, but I just didn't want to get it looked at because I didn't want to go to the doctor's office and be like, how did you do this? Well, I dressed up in a onesie as the guy who jumped out of space for Red Bull and then I jumped off a roof.
Did anyone know who you were?
A Red Bull guy, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I probably just told a lot of people. I got like one of those, like, you know, the foam helmets they wear for like boxing or UFC sports. I got one of those and I taped a Red Bull logo on the side. And then I got like an iron-on Red Bull patch and I ironed it onto this like white onesie. And then I bought a pair of white moon boots. And it was a really comfortable costume. And this was central Connecticut. So it was like cold that time of year. So it like kept me warm the whole party. It's great, man.
How many Red Bull vodkas went into the decision to jump off the roof?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Yeah, I didn't not drink Red Bull and vodka that night. I'd say it that way, probably.
Did you go into that night thinking, you know what, at some point I'm going to have to jump off a roof? For like the people there were like, you know what, Felix or whatever your name was, it's time to jump. You got to jump off the roof now.
Not only did I go into that night like openly announcing that I was going to do a space jump at some point that night, there were like numerous of my friends who were assigned to making sure that I didn't do a space jump. And then I broke away for one moment, found a good spot on the roof to do it, and did a space jump. It was pretty daring stuff. Me and Felix, you know, pretty
much went through the same
thing. Yeah. Billy, we haven't got your subscription yet.
Well, I'm almost embarrassed to do it now because you guys had good subscriptions and mine was just going to be an actual subscription. I was going to say Paramount Plus is something that we subscribe to, but I think I took it too literally.
No. Go.
What are you excited to watch on Paramount Plus?
Wait, go.
No, go ahead, Zo.
I have one big question because I subscribed for the free trial of CBS All Access.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does this differ to Paramount Plus?
It's a great question. I don't work for them, so I don't have that exact answer for you. I was but it started like this week, so I don't have all the information.
You're not really selling me on the subscription, Billy.
Well, I don't think you've let him talk yet.
Touche.
I just wanted people to subscribe to CBS All Access because I love it because they got all of the Comedy Central content. They got Nickelodeon, BET, MTV, CBS. They got everything. You could watch every episode of The Challenge ever, which I know that we're fans of The Challenge.
So
you can see all of these great shows. And now I guess they merge with Paramount Pictures and there's over 30,000 episodes and movies available. And there's going to be movies, I guess, they would have put in theaters that you could see there now. So I feel like if I already love CBS All Access, it became Paramount Plus. It's going to be even better than before.
And also, I don't know what portion of our audience is like the people that they go on the message boards for their college sports teams. So like if you are a subscriber to a website that's on the 24/7 sports network, like Inside Carolina, guess what? You get Paramount Plus for free.
Wow.
But you didn't know that.
Wow.
So maybe there's some fans. Go run to your message board now. See you from the 24/7. You probably already know that. But you get free Paramount Plus. You probably already signed up for it.
And we got the Challenge OG season coming. We got the old guys.
I'm going to feel so bad for them watching.
I know,
that.
But
I'm just going to.
Can we do 5 quick minutes on this season of The Challenge?
Yes. Oh, God. Yes, I've been waiting months for this.
Please.
Oh. I mean, maybe one of us can review it.
Yeah, let's review this.
Ooh. Well, I can't because I have a different review. But one of you could, potentially.
I do have a second rating segment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that one? I'd just like to point out to you, though, that we left rating already. We're ending subscribe.
Oh, wait, Lorenzo, Lorenzo, tell us about the second rating segment
that you're just going to poke holes in. My second segment is called Mystery Rate.
And how does this work?
An homage to Mystery Crate, the podcast that we're currently on. It's called Mystery Rate. So the way this works is every week.
Why did you make a song for the other one, but not for that one?
Because it's an old 60s Milton Bradley game. I'm not gonna toy with Milton Bradley. And they're
great baseball players. Yeah,
no. Yeah, kind of a hothead.
Is Hardworth. Check Beckett.
I'll check Beckett now.
So Mystery Rate, very simple. You remember the old game Mafia?
Yes.
Where one person is Mafia, and then everyone has to guess who that Mafia member is.
Why didn't you just say Among Us, since you've made us play that game together? And it's
Didn't really play. You started playing and then took off halfway through, and you ruined a perfectly good round of Among Us. Let everyone know that Billy just likes to poo-poo everything, including Among Us. Mystery Rate. One of us gets randomly selected as the picker for the week. That person lets a independent member of our audience,
Zoe's wife,
my wife, know what said selection is. And the next episode, we, us four, and the audience get to review and experience this brand new entity, item. It could be a movie, it could be a docuseries, it could be an album, or a YouTube video like this week's submission is. And we have to guess at the end of it all, who is the picker?
Wait, hold on a second. I think we're getting breaking news right now, Lorenzo. What?
breaking news.
I, Charlie Hume, have been selected as this week's Mystery Raider.
Wow! That is crazy breaking news! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Lorenzo?
Why do I sign up for this
every That was on the Mystery Raider! Can you believe it?
Wow.
I love this segment. I love this more than Master Raider.
Now we don't even need to wait until next week to find out who it is.
Well, that's assuming we ever do this again. I was going to mention what this week's selection is, but no, Charlie, you already ruined it. You already took the wind out of my sails. Go ahead.
How do you know what it is, though?
Because my wife told me, hey, someone chose this. Leslie Nielsen's Bad Golf Made Easier.
Which is hilarious, by the way. That is a great YouTube video.
It's a 48-minute What is this, a VHS?
It's an old VHS they recorded. Yeah, there's some good moments there.
I freaking love Leslie Nielsen.
I tell you what, if someone out there listening to this watches that YouTube clip, and if you tweet us a good review, then you can be next week's Mystery Raider.
Oh, no, wait.
We'll read your review on the show, and you're the Mystery Raider.
I like that wrinkle, but no,
Master
none of us has
the rating.
I love that. That's another great segment, so. Well done. Well done.
I do love your imaging. Good work on that.
All right, guys, I got a review for you. This one has been going on for me for about a month, and it's time to review it. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. I have never been a huge Tom Brady fan. Not like I dislike the guy, just never been like my guy. But I was struck by how incredible that was. And on a whim, I was like, you know what, Charlie? You're getting kind of fat in quarantine. It's time to check out the TB12 method.
Ooh.
I bought the ebook. I'm 1 month into Tom Brady's diet.
Wow. Wait a second. Hold on a second. This is amazing.
TB12 lifestyle.
And what's most amazing about this is you managed to hide this from us for a whole month.
We haven't done a podcast in a month.
Please tell us.
We haven't done a podcast in 2 months.
Review the TB12 method. This is amazing.
So I actually don't think it's as hard to do as like it's made out to be. Yes, you aren't eating processed foods. You're not really eating bread. You're not really eating sugar. You're not really eating dairy. That's fine. But you have pretty much, you can use whatever meats you want, whatever vegetables you want. I have not followed the no nightshades, no strawberries aspect of it, knowing that it's like supposed to be fully alkalized. So I guess I'm doing really like a TB11 method. I have not hit it perfectly on that stuff. But some of the core principles of like, basically you drink half of your body weight in pounds in ounces in water. So you have to really get used to drinking a lot of water every single day. You have to get used to Ayurvedic preparations of food, cooking things separately. You have to get used to like the fact that you eat sort of carbs and proteins at different times. So it'll be like legumes and rice and vegetables or vegetables and meats. So you're not like, you're sort of like splitting up meals that way. But it's really not that hard. And the big thing that I noticed is you can have roughly the same amount of calories in a day, same amount of food, and you don't feel nearly as weighed down or sick or like full. Like you never get the feeling of like, I'm grossly full from this. I need to lie down for a week.
I want to do the TB12 method now.
Yeah. And I've paired it with a lot more stretching. And I gotta say,
do you feel pliable?
I'm trying to improve my pliability here. And I gotta say, I give like 52 pumpkins to the TB12.
Wow!
Record. No, go Gumby. We're talking pliability, so go Gumby.
Yeah, 51 Gumbies or 52 Gumbies. Pumpkins. But like the biggest thing is shockingly sustainable. Like you can pretty much do the TB12 diet. Well, I guess I should say sustainable while I'm at home and not like seeing other people and not going out and stuff. But currently, great diet. And it was a great activity to change my lifestyle.
Yeah, what you're describing sounds impossible. The amount of Girl Scout cookies I consume in one day alone probably matches Kravitz's total caloric intake in a day's worth of TB12 dining. I wish I could. I feel like, yeah, that's impressive, man. I'm intrigued. I could try that for like a day and a half and then give up and eat Taco Bell. Billy, what's your review?
I was going to review this episode, and I'm going to be honest with you.
Save you last? Uh-oh. Save it for last, or you want to review it now?
You know.
You don't know what Lorenzo and I have for reviews yet. Could change your whole review.
Let's put it off then a little bit.
I'm not going to lie. This review, just by your tone, Billy, I don't like the direction it's going to go. It's
going to make There's still time.
Well, if you're feeling down on this episode, let me present to you my review of... Wait, where is it? Let me get my notes here.
Why are you so bad at multitasking?
Well, because there's a lot of tabs. You should know this. I have like 20 tabs open every day. And now I have like 21 note tabs.
Your desktop is literally completely full of icons. It's actually correct. One of the most like anxiety-inducing desktops I've ever looked at in my entire life.
I know. And considering it comes from the person who has an Excel spreadsheet for everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. I do.
Ready... Okay, so I the big craze now is docuseries on every streaming platform. Everyone has documentaries now coming out left and right. Billy, I think the radio show had mentioned something about way too many documentaries out there. I enjoy them, but I do think we're getting to a point where it's way too many of them. The ones that I recently saw, I saw the Framing Britney one, and I saw the Tiger Woods HBO Max one. Very eye-opening. And quite frankly, I don't want my kid to be famous ever, ever, ever. Don't even touch celebrity.
What are you reviewing?
I'm reviewing the Netflix crime scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. Has anyone seen this or?
Sure haven't.
In the trailer. So basically, there is a 4-part docuseries called Crime Scene, The Vanishing at Cecil Hotel that explores the death of one 21-year-old Eliza Lamb. The problem with the Cecil Hotel, it's this old hotel that's been around since the early 20s. But, of course, numerous things have happened at the Cecil. People have jumped out of windows. And the Night Stalker killer set up shop in there. What's his name? Something Ramirez. That's another documentary.
Hanley.
Not Hanley Ramirez.
Good player. Great Night potential. Stalker never lived up to it, though, did he?
That 1 year at 330 with 30
He was in the Red Sox system, right? And then he got traded to the Marlins, and back to the Red Sox? For Josh Beckett.
No, he had a stop in between. I think he was – when was he on the Dodgers?
That 1 year on the Dodgers. No, he went from the Marlins to the Dodgers.
He won a batting title on the Marlins, I remember, because he bought him a necklace. I think he hit 342.
Yeah. And the year that he got traded to the Dodgers, the second half of that season, he went bananas hitting the ball.
Well, he was just like mini Manny.
Yeah.
Not so mini at the end.
No.
Eliza Lamb disappears. But before she disappears, there is a video that is released by LAPD of her disappearance, or right before her disappearance.
LAPD, that's a connection to Hanley Ramirez right there.
Boom. Probably covered in the LA Times.
Last sighting of Eliza in an elevator.
Need a subscription for
that. You guys should look up this video because I think the big...
Subscribe to that theory.
What? The big takeaway from this movie is that the elevator video is about 4 minutes and it is the creepiest thing. It is the stuff of nightmares. It is the stuff of horror movies are made of. Look that up.
So much so they made a horror movie out of it.
Well,
how about that?
No, they didn't. Did they?
Well, you're talking about.
Aren't you reviewing?
No, this is a documentary series, not a horror
movie. Oh, right.
You know what?
Different.
I'm done.
Very different.
We didn't do masturbating. No, not masturbating. Master rating. You guys frazzle me so much. I don't even know my own segment.
Master rating.
We did master rating.
No, we didn't.
This whole episode is
missing ratings here. I don't even know which one's the top Fast and the Furious movie.
Well, I'm just stunned.
Charlie Hume ruins the freaking random mystery rate.
No, we have a random fan sending one of those in next week.
I give you a review of a 4-part miniseries that gets crapped on. We're going to talk Hanley Ramirez. Why don't we look up how much Hanley Ramirez is worth in Beckett?
Oh, that's a good
actually
idea.
Fun. Actually, this is my...
By the way, I looked up that Milton Bradley rookie card in the time we were talking. I don't know if this will make the podcast. It's only worth $4.
Wow. Actually not a shocker.
All right, Billy, how do you rate this episode?
Well, can I get my review?
I'd
love to get my review. Yeah, no, it's okay. The thing I want to review is the Princeton Review college book. So... I was hoping we could do a quick lightning review of the school you would have gone to had you not gotten into or chosen to attend the school that you went to. Lorenzo, where would you go to the school if you had not gone to FIU?
Wait a minute. So this is a lightning
review.
Review. I really, really, really had I wanted to apply there, and I said, you know what, with my meager 3.1 GPA, I'm not going to get in. I wanted to go to NYU and Columbia, one or the other.
Oh,
Columbia, okay. The journalism school there was calling me.
Kravitz, what school would you have gone to?
Well, my college process, I applied to Brown early and got the hard rejection. And then I was choosing between UVA, Vanderbilt, and Middlebury. So I think Middlebury would have been my second choice of the three I got into.
Huh. There you go. How about you, Billy?
You know, the college application process is not something I'm very proud of, or it's not exactly a fond memory.
Wait, Billy. How did we have? So we had guidance counselors at
our school, yeah,
that would help us figure out which schools we wanted to go to.
Yeah,
and as a first generation college student, I really didn't know all the things that went into a college application.
Yeah.
And needless to say, I only applied to FIU.
My college guidance counselor, who shall remain nameless, was
good job.
A nun in her 80s.
Oh, me too.
So the way that it worked is you'd have to go and you'd apply obviously early in like the fall for some of these schools, right? And I did not do that. And I was trying to get in by the deadline, by the end of like the first semester. And by the time I was doing that, a lot of my friends were already getting like rejection letters from some of the schools that I thought like, you know what, I'm going to apply to that school. And I ended up not applying to schools because of rejection letters I saw from some of my classmates thinking, you know what, they have better grades, or I think they have better grades than I do. I'm not going to get into the thing. I didn't take into account like SAT score or like extracurricular activities or like any of that. I just thought like, I'm only thinking about my grades. And this counselor would flat out tell me, you shouldn't apply there. That's a party school. And I was like, I feel like maybe I should apply where I want to apply to. But she was very dead set on, you know what? No, that's not a good school for you. That's a party school. You shouldn't apply there. So I think that I was going to apply to FSU, Florida State, and I didn't apply there because I saw people getting rejected. And then I ended up applying to FIU and I got in. So I think like Zoe, I ended up not applying to other places because of a combination of seeing people get rejection letters.
And they were party schools.
And counselors telling me, party no, schools. You can't go there. That's a party school.
I would have gone to the University of Southern California.
Ooh,
in fact, I got in and was going to go there, and I did not think I was going to get into North Carolina. And I got in North Carolina. I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to North Carolina now.
Billy, I hope you're not going to harshly grade us on all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear your review, Billy. Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm excited. I don't know if that's the right word.
So I guess it's time to review. And I was going to review this episode, and we're going to do another one of these. I feel like...
Wait, what rating system are we grading these on?
Well, no, that's no rate. That's the first segment. It's different.
So are you doing like a thumbs up, thumbs down?
No, that's a review. This review, it's totally different, though.
Yeah, it's completely different.
So
yeah.
We're not giving a score to this here episode.
Well, would you give a score on a review?
Yeah.
Yeah, some do.
Would you give this episode if you were review?
This is our first one. We've been rusty. We've been away for a few months.
Please use a pumpkin scale, if you could.
I don't want to use a pumpkin scale. I give it 6 ZJs. ZJ. This episode killed it. We killed it.
No one gets that. I would say this episode wasn't very good. I would say, you know, came in with some hopes. There was maybe some chatter about this episode. Hey, you know what? Maybe this could spin off. Maybe it can get its own podcast. So if you liked it, rate, subscribe, review. You could say, I really liked that this could get its own podcast. If you hated it, you could say, you know what? If this gets its own podcast, then I never have to listen to it again on the Mystery Crate. So either way, just say, you know what? I think this deserves its own podcast. I don't know this was the episode, though, that convinces people, you know what? Spin off.
You know what? I think it's the format. It's not us. We're great.
I would actually speak higher of the format and the concept than our performances.
If only we had pre-produced segments where we had some guidance
If only we had pre-produced segments that overrode the existing structure that we all talked about and agreed upon coming into the show. If only we had that, that would have made this a lot better. But thankfully we didn't.
Master Rating! Master Rating!
How do you guys think this would have gone if we'd actually just sat there and rated every single Fast and the Furious movie and then had Lorenzo tabulate?
That's the thing. That was his great idea, is let's go through 9 movies of one franchise and each of you give it your rating.
No, it wasn't going to be. So this was the beginning. This was the one to get everyone hyped and excited about Master Rating together. And we would go on to other series, other franchises, other, like, we could do, like, I think I said the Three Stooges. Let's race the Three Stooges. Which one's the best Stooge?
Which one is the best Stooge?
Just gotta get people excited about masturbating together. Lorenzo, you're doing your best, man.
Listen, we're rusty. Super Bowl.
We are rusty. Please be nice to us.
The important thing, guys, we wouldn't be promoting rate, subscribe, review correctly if we were trying to angle for good reviews and good ratings. You know what? The spirit of rate, subscribe, review, if you hate it, be as boisterous as possible. Scream it out loud. Hey, you guys really suck.
No, don't do that.
No. You have to voice your opinion. That's what the internet's about, Billy Gibb.
No. Only give us lots of pumpkins.
Do whatever you want. Just use the pumpkin scale, because that's the one that we understand.
Or the Please. Corona scale.
I'm the Zach here. I don't think we were that bad.
Ooh.
How many
pumpkins?
Pumpkins or crosses, Toretto crosses.
I'm going to let the listeners decide how many pumpkins.
I missed the fifth member of our ensemble who was much more generous to me.
Well, you know.
Shout out to Brotman.
Brotman, we miss you, bud.
Brat Daddy.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
All right, before we go, Zell, 7th B.
We have a B. Hold up, I have something maybe in my notes. Brad Penny.
I miss Lorenzo, Billy. That's what I took away from that whole thing, is I Do miss really? Lorenzo. I mean, really? Charlie, both the Charlies are great too, but just Lorenzo, he's so nice.
Oh. He's something. He's something else. I would tell you that I missed him too, but I hear from him almost daily, like all the time. And this is how much Lorenzo loves just the show and like everything that we do. He still is constantly sending me Stugatz ideas and like, Stugatz should awesome. Do this, Stugatz should do that. Oh, Stugatz really, this would be great with Stugatz. Oh, I have an idea for this Stugatz segment. Stugatz, and I forgot what the other name was. And I'm like, how would that work? He's like, I'm still working that out, but be a great idea. I'm like, okay, well, I'll pass that along.
Is he, so I've never worked with Lorenzo before. I actually know him because when my brother went to ESPN, that was like the first friend that he made was Lorenzo when they were like APs together.
Oh, wow.
At the early doors of ESPN. So I don't know what it's like. Is he just like vomiting ideas all the time?
He's an idea factory, and I would say maybe like 20% of them are actually realistic. Not to say that 80% of them are bad ideas, but 80% of them are like ideas that we don't have the means to accomplish. Like, we famously told the story about how Lorenzo came up with the idea of lowering Stugatz into the studio, Mission Impossible style. But you've been in the
studio. Good idea.
It's a good idea, except the ceiling for the studio is maybe 9 feet high. Yeah. It's not like you could almost touch it when you're standing on the ground. Like, so it's impossible to set that up.
Like the length of cable you would need to do that is like the length of a phone charger.
I would think that the pulley system would probably show up like at his seat for whatever weight it is that it needs to hold. So, you know, it's stuff like that. He did come up with the, was the one where Stugatz's stomach was talking? Stugatz, I think is what it's called. Like that, he's very proud of that one. So, and by the way, to tie things all together, Lucio painted Stugatz's stomach for that, which I'm sure...
Look at that!
While Lucio was doing that, was thinking, wow, I became a professional makeup artist to draw a mouth and eyes on this somewhat overweight person's stomach.
Yeah, you get home from work. What'd you do today? Well, I drew a face on Stugatz's stomach.
Yeah.
Stugatz waddled over to me, shirtless.
But also, that took, if I remember correctly... a significant amount of time because he was trying to make it perfect, and it's like, all right, we're coming back from the break. We really only needed two dots and like a smiley face underneath his belly button. That's it. We don't need to like blush. We don't need any of that stuff.
The stomach face does not need dimples. It's okay.
Exactly. Yeah, we're good here.
Goodbye.